wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey. The morning after Jesus comes. After over 60 years of Bible study and dependence on the Holy Spirit, I will describe for you what will happen immediately after Jesus comes again. This message is so comprehensive, including the saints and sinners, the heathen and the evangelized, I can only show the main facts. Please give your undivided attention and learn where and how you will be the morning after Jesus comes again. What could be more timely for us all? I share the conviction of millions of godly Christians the world around that we are living in the last days, the perilous times that the Bible speaks of, just before Jesus comes, and that his return is imminent. It may take place at any moment. The coming of our Lord will be the eternal deadline for the saved and for the lost. Thereafter, it shall be eternally too late, and nothing can be done about it forever. My Bible text says, "For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear?" What solemn questions for us all. Judgment must begin at the house of God. And this is to be the big warning to the ungodly and sinners who refuse to obey the gospel of God. So let us all behold the solemn scene of the judgment of God's children. When Jesus comes, one shall be taken and the other left. Who will be taken? Where will they be taken? Those who are taken are the real born-again children of God, and they are described in these words of Holy Scripture, "They that are Christ's." And so that there can be no mistake as to their identity, the Bible says, "If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." They that are Christ. Neighbor, does this take you in? Have you definitely surrendered yourself to Jesus Christ for him to be your Lord and Master and King, and for you to belong to him, to do his will? And have you the Holy Spirit of God in your heart? All such shall be taken, but none others. Where will they be taken? They shall rise into the air to meet their Lord, as he calls, "Come up hither," and he will receive us unto himself, as he said, "I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." And there shall be that great reunion of all the Lord's people, for the grave shall release the bodies, and the soul shall come with Christ from heaven, and both living and dead shall be reunited, so we shall be forever with the Lord and with one another. We who are Christ shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, in his glory and beauty. We shall rise beyond the clouds, passing through the second heaven, where the devil's kingdom is. The devil's host shall fall back as we pass through their midst, shouting in victory, "Thanks be unto God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." But ere we reach the Father's presence in heaven itself, our Lord will stop. We, his people, shall gather around him, and then his countenance will shine with heaven's holy light. His face will be solemn, and his eyes shall flash like flames of fire as he sets up his judgment seat. Fear, exceeding that of Peter, John, and James on the Mount of Transfiguration, shall seize each one of us as we realize that the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. When we see his glory, we shall be ashamed that the vain glitter of the world ever held us. And as we enter into that great eternity, how ashamed we shall be that the passing things of time ever moved us. Brother, sister in Christ, the morning after Jesus comes, we'll find you and me at the judgment seat of Christ. Our hearts shall leap for joy as our Lord comes and receives us unto himself. But as we face him at his judgment seat, fear will move us in the measure that we fail to obey his word and to live for eternity. On some, the Lord shall put his right hand, like on John at Patmos, and say, "Fear not." But these shall only be the faithful few who lost their lives for Christ's sake and for his gospel's. Let me illustrate. The wife and children meet their returning loved one at the train. The meeting is very happy. Then as the children get off to bed, the husband's face is solemn. The wife's eyes drop as he says, "Wife, what do you mean by doing what I told you not to do? And why did you not do what I told you to do?" She is silent, ashamed. Oh, how she wished she had obeyed, if only she had pleased her husband, so that their meeting would have remained supremely happy. But alas, it is too late. Regrets do no good. Just so, my fellow Christian, and the Lord's coming will be the deadline for you and for me. Thereafter, it will be eternally too late. Yes, too late to serve the Lord. These are our days to serve Christ. Yes, too late to lay up treasure in heaven. Our Lord told us we would need it there, but you thought only of what you might need for some rainy day on earth. And now it is too late. And too late to win souls for Christ. To not see one in that company of the redeemed that you helped to lead to Christ, while Jonah will see 120,000 and some even more than that. Yes, and too late to earn the Lord's well done and to see his smile of approval, an experience that will never be forgotten for all eternity. For it is not for you. For you are not willing to be shut at naught for Christ while here on earth, and too late to merit those seven glorious crowns. Others shall wear them, but your head shall be uncrowned, and that for all eternity. Today there are on earth a few godly Christians who look like fools as they live for God and for eternity. They give for the gospel all they get. They deny themselves and labor night and day for Christ. If you ask them what made them so different, even from other Christians, they would reply, "I'm living for what will count at the judgment seat of Christ." Yes, they have ever before them the vision of the morning after Jesus comes. May this truth so move every Christian listening to me today. Amen. And now we look at the other side. Some sinners may say, "What has this to do with me?" Need you ask? Hearken. If the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? If the judgment seat of Christ is so fearful for the Lord's believing children, what awaits you? You who have defied God and refused to obey his gospel, you who have turned down your Savior and have gone on your own way of sin and wickedness, what shall your end be? It will be so horrible that no pen or tongue could describe it, no man or angel could tell it. And where will you be the morning after Jesus comes? You shall hear no heavenly voice, for you are tuned into the voice of the world, and not that of heaven. Your dial is set to man's program and not God's. You shall not be taken, but left right here on earth. But this world shall no longer be the scene of heavenly mercies and kindnesses, but of the judgments of God poured out upon men in rapid succession. You shall not be cast at once into hell, but hell from beneath shall rise to meet you, and for the first time there shall be a real hell on earth. Read about it in the last book of the Bible, the Revelation. All are in panic and trembling fear, such as was never on earth before. People running to and fro, falling in a faint, crying out in their bitterness and wailing, the harvest is past, and the summer is ended, and we are not saved. Some stand by the open graves in the cemetery. Others hold the garments of their Christian loved one, the only thing left behind. The Lord took them and even every hair of their heads, leaving only their clothes right where they were. The very atmosphere of earth seems charged with this. Too late. And as they look in their anguish heavenward, those very clouds that received the saints are now black and threatening, and on them three words are plainly seen, too late forever. For the morning after Jesus comes is the deadline. Your space to repent has run out. You may frantically get the Bible of your Christian mate or godly parent and open it to familiar verses. But written over even at John 3:16, you see, not available now, you're too late. Surely, of you, my readers, many will say, preacher, help me to get right with God now. The call of the Lord Jesus for this occasion is, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him and he with me. If you will, in real repentance, now open your heart and life to Jesus Christ, to be your Lord, to obey him, and your Savior to save you from your sins, then tell him so in words like these. Oh God, I'm such a wicked sinner. I deserve thy eternal wrath. I now repent of all of my sins, and I cry to thee to be merciful to me for Jesus' sake. Lord Jesus, I come to thee to save me and change me to be one of thy people, so that at thy coming I shall be taken home to heaven. Lord Jesus Christ, I now receive thee as my Lord and Savior, and I beg thee to receive me to be one of thine own. Amen. If this is your wholehearted decision, then when he comes, he will open heaven and receive you. Neighbor, where will you be the morning after Jesus comes again? Since my Lord Jesus passed by those self-righteous and self-satisfied Pharisees, saying, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance, so I bypass all such in our day, as my heart goes out to sincere souls who are awakened by the Spirit of God to realize that they have never, in that person-to-person way, come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Hearken. At the start of our Lord's ministry, he preached, enter ye in at the straight gate. But as he closed his ministry and told of his coming again, he preached, strive to enter in at the straight gate. And that word for strive is agonize. This indicates that the forces of evil within you and without will fight to hold you. And only as you're dead in earnest will you get to know Jesus Christ in this personal way. Another scripture says, ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord. That is what it takes. So in tears of repentance, seek the Lord. Tell him, Lord Jesus, I want to know thee as my Lord, my Savior, my God, and my Redeemer. In my helpless distress, I come to thee. Please reveal thyself to me and assure me that thou hast received me and saved me as I now receive thee to be my own. Then quietly wait for his response. He has promised, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And he will receive you and make you to feel the blessed reality of this, so you can say, I am my Lord's and he is mine. I have received him and he has received me. And when he comes again, I know he will receive me. I well remember that when I was a lad in those years when the Spirit of God was so convicting me of my sins, I would awake in the morning and listen to hear, what? The voices of my godly parents. What a relief when I heard them and I knew Jesus had not come. But After my salvation, I would awake and see myself still here. And I knew Jesus had not come. For when he comes again, he will surely receive me unto himself. That I know, for Jesus was mine, and I was his forever. Neighbor, how is it with you when you awake in the morning? Are you so sure that you belong to Jesus Christ as one of his own, that when he comes again, he will receive you unto himself? Let there be no doubt about this. And then, at his judgment seat, which will you be, crowned or uncrowned? Rewarded or to suffer loss? Praised by Christ or for your Lord to be ashamed of you? And since you even now know which it shall be, and you do know, so right now you can and you should do something about it. Live for eternity. I repeat that, live for eternity. Do that which will count at the judgment seat of Christ when he comes again. Let not a day pass without much that will please the Lord and be a blessing to others. Amen. These are messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you. I am but his bondservant to deliver his message. David Brinkman.